This is Matt Leaf Anderson, and you're listening to the Pow Wow Podcast. This is the first episode. It's with David Boyzon Cooper. I recorded this on a trip with David and Luke Byrne on a trip to the Sequoias, Yosemite, and Kings Canyon National Parks. It's a pretty bad recording. They'll get a little bit better, I think, as we go along. So here's David Boyzon Cooper.
I want to hear first a little bit about what you got going on in Banff.
So I'm going up to Banff. I've got a photography residency at the Banff Center, exploring mountain culture for 5 weeks.
Nice. And what have you been doing in America so far?
I've been hanging out with you and Luke. Back there, we've been on this road trip, and I've been upstate New York, I've been San Francisco, I've been New York City, I've been LA. It's been good.
So how long have you been hiking, getting out, doing walks and stuff?
Well, I've been doing it a lot since I was young, but more recently, a couple of years.
What got you into it?
Well, I started off taking photos of landscapes, beautiful places, and it kind of became more about actually hiking, exploring, and going beyond just taking photos of places. I wanted to explore them, and then that led to like mountaineering specifically, and then climbing, and then everything that comes with that. So it started out through photos, then it kind of ended up being a bit more, something a bit deeper, I guess.
I should probably start out by saying that he is from Scotland, so is that where you kind of started doing that stuff, around?
For sure. I live in Glasgow, so the Highlands are like, they start almost an hour from Glasgow, so you can get out into the wilderness pretty quick. It's really accessible.
Awesome. You're also really into skateboarding, right?
Right.
How long have you been doing that?
Since I was in like primary seven, so that's what, like 12, 13? I guess. Yeah, I've always like, it's quite similar to climbing mountains actually, really. It's kind of, it's like individual, it's like kind of pretty solo. There's no one really telling you what to do. It's a challenge. You can kind of make up your own rules.
Do you still skate a lot?
Not as much as I did when I was like 16, 17, but I still, in the summer, I still get out a lot, so I still really enjoy it.
So you did a proposal to, is it for the Scottish government about doing, getting a grant in Banff? Is that what it was?
No, it was, the Banff Centre had a partnership with Creative Scotland, which is like an arts body, and they run like 4 residencies a year. They have like a partnership with Banff, so they sort of organise it all. So I just applied, I saw it online, and just applied, and came up with a proposal. And then got it, and then they've sort of, because it's linked with the BAM Centre, they're sorting out like the logistics of that, I guess, and like getting me out there. But it's like, it's a partnership with Scotland, with Creative Scotland, and only Scottish people could apply for it. So this 4 of us got over from Scotland, but I don't really know the other 3.
Those other people.
Yeah.
And when are you heading there?
Tomorrow. So we're driving back to LA now, and my flight's at 7 tomorrow, and I'm there for 5 weeks.
So I remember I visited you last year in Glasgow, and we were at your apartment, and you were saying like how Yosemite's always been a place that you've wanted to go.
Yeah.
How did that work out for you? Did you like it?
Yeah, well, it was amazing. Like I've always seen Yosemite in books, and like obviously like Ansel Adams, and like climbing as well is massive. Like all those people on Choi Art photos, like Patagonia, like this start of Patagonia as a company in that kind of era. It's always been a place that's like fascinated me, so I was pretty stoked to see it. But I didn't think we were actually going to get to, because we didn't have that much time and everything, so I was pretty stoked yesterday to go and do some hiking around there. It was definitely one of the spots I'm like dying to see, so feeling pretty good just now.
Yeah, we started the trip going through, what is that, the Sequoia?
Yeah, well, so we left LA on
Sunday?
Yeah, it's cool because like I met you in Scotland, I met Luke in Australia, and then it all worked out that we'd all be here at the same time, so we hooked up this trip, we hit Sequoia, then we hit Yosemite, then King's Canyon today, which was amazing, and then heading back now, but it's just cool when you can like see people you've met in different countries and different places. And I think like photography is a really good way of meeting like-minded people and getting trips and getting something going that's you know, worldwide.
Yeah, you seem to be one of those people who's like met more people from Flickr and through photography outlets than anybody else I know. Like, isn't that how you found a place to stay in Australia?
Yeah, I used to just hit up like people. I didn't really follow that many people on Flickr, but I followed like a few people I thought were rad. And so I just, if I was going to a place, I just think like, who do I know at this place? You know, Shea Parker in Perth. I just like emailed him. He came. I had never met him. He picked me up. I ended up staying there for like 3 months. I didn't meet Luke through Flickr, but it was sort of through photography. I was helping a friend do a photography exhibition in Melbourne. That's how I met Luke. Then you, I guess, had you on Flickr a long time, and I just emailed you. I've met a girl, Angela, from Copenhagen. I just emailed her and went around hers for a drink when I was in Denmark. And I've had people up to stay at my flat through Flickr. It's not really, I don't really use Flickr so much anymore, but it was an amazing way of starting, like getting involved in the kind of photography scene and meeting like many people, kind of looking beyond your own scene, being able to hang out. It was definitely a new way to do things for me. Like, people always, you know, turn their nose up a bit when meeting people off the internet because they think they're going to be weird, or they think there's something, you know, they don't know what's going to happen, or it's awkward. But I've always found that it's like, I've met some of the best people doing that. You know, I've seen things I would never have seen because, you know, you go to a new place and you see someone that lives there, and then they have a car, and then you can take these red spots and you get your photos, and it's just, yeah, it's been a very, like, fruitful way of doing it.
So how do you feel about the way things are going now? It seems like, I know you've been, like, in camping and being in the outdoors for a long time, and it seems like this year it's kind of turned into such a huge fad, not only in the photography community, but just everywhere.
Companies now, it's a real image thing, and they really like to push a certain brand image that I think maybe is like, you know, maybe a bit fake. You know, some of these companies, the stuff's not really good quality enough, or it doesn't like actually function very well in the actual outdoors. When you take it out, like, you know, a camping trip for a week in a place that might be super cold, it's like, you know, it doesn't function well as outdoor stuff, but it looks good. And I think that part of that is the whole, like, it's like, comes to a lot on Instagram and Tumblr and everything, and you can kind of see like, maybe stuff isn't quite as, like, you know, real outdoors as you might think.
Yeah, it's kind of a fashion accessory, like camping gear and being outside.
Oh, yeah,
totally.
It's massive now. It's like, it's kind of the look a lot of companies are going for. And, like, yeah, it's definitely something that's pretty hot right now.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, getting outdoors and camping, all these things have always been really popular, but it's definitely a way that, like, companies are trying to kind of project themselves. And then,
yeah.
I think there's a difference between, like, really doing it and kind of faking it. I think it kind of comes through a lot.
Definitely. Well, I like what you were saying, too, about, like, actually going out there instead of sitting on the side of the road and taking a shot, because I definitely do both. There's a lot of times I'm happy just, like, pulling up to the scenic spot and getting a good photo. And, of course, it's, like, really good to get out there and get a little something different. I've heard someone mention that, like, when you have one of those amazing shots where you're up there, you know, it's just kind of, you earned it. It's like something that you...
Oh, yeah, totally. You. I mean, yeah, I'm not one of those people. I have this thing where I can't really look at things like mountains and not want to get in amongst them and kind of explore them. I feel like I can't just... If I pull up and, you know, we drove up into Yosemite Valley yesterday or whatever, and I just, like, had to get up high. Like, I just, like... I didn't feel content with just driving around or just walking around the valley floor. I wanted to get some height.
Yeah,
just, I gotta see what it was like, or like that day we were in Glencoe or whatever. It was like, I just had to go. I don't know. I get this weird thing where it's like, you just gotta go for it. And like, yeah, it's a bit weird, and sometimes maybe it's kind of, it does make it hard if you're traveling in groups and some people aren't up for it. For what, you know, it's like, I just feel like it's something that I have to do. It's weird feeling, like compulsion. But and some days you climb all the way up and the light's shit, and you just, and the photos are crap. You know, it's misty and stuff, whatever. It's not always like, but sometimes you go up and it's like, you really, like, yeah, you put in the effort, you really get some rewards. But it's a 50, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out, sometimes it does, but the exercise is always good. You kind of, you get a good perspective, and I think that effort really does, you can see that you've, like, put in a bit of work.
Yeah, and I really, like, it's really funny traveling with you, because I can, like, Luke and I think can tell, like, you just, like, get a little antsy, like.
Oh, yeah, I get, antsy's like I get nervous, like.
Yeah, like, just, you see mountains, and just, like, it, like, freaks you out a bit, like, that you're not up there, I think, right?
Yeah, like, I get nervous, like, all right, sunset's at 6, like, it's 12, you know, this is a, whatever, like, a 13-mile round trip, it's like, am I going to make it, like, guys, can you drop me off, like, yeah, it's hard, it's, like, it's definitely, like, pisses off a few people, like, my girlfriend, for sure, is, like, thinks it's ridiculous, and, like, doesn't really get it, but, I mean, I don't know, I just get a bit, like, single-minded about it.
So for you, is it, like, do you ever go hiking without a camera and just not even worry about the photos, just go to do it?
Not really, but if the weather's really shit, I'll still go, and there's been times where I've not even taken one photo, and it's just, like, I'll just do it to, like, get the summit or whatever, but, you know, it's completely missing, it's rainy, I'm not even going to see the camera, and there's no point, but I did the photos, like, the light wasn't that great, I mean, like, top of your setup, it was the 70 Valley, and it wasn't, like, the best, like, photos I've taken, but, like, it was, just being there was insane, you know? It's, like, it used to be about the photos, and it kind of became something a bit more than that, but if you're up in those places, the good photos are going to come eventually. But yeah, I would do it without the photos. It's, like, it got more about just the activity of actually climbing mountains for me, and everything comes from that.
Cool. So, like, jumping ahead then to what you're going to be doing in Banff, like, how often do you think you're going to be getting out? Like, what exactly are you doing there? I know that you're getting set up with kind of a studio and an apartment and stuff.
Yeah, well, I had this proposal because I studied history at university. So I've always kind of been, like, aware of, like, historical sides of things. And because I started getting into mountains, I started getting into, like, the historical side of it, who climbed things first, and, you know, the history of mountaineering, which I find fascinating. So I came up with this because I didn't just put up here photography proposal. I didn't really think I had. It was really, like, strong enough. So I came up with this, like, I did a bit of research, and there was this Austrian guide who went to the Canadian Rockies and explored them all, a guy called Conrad Kane. And he had, like, pretty, like, visionary views on how we should interact with mountains, and, like, how we should climb, and and the culture of guiding and everything. So I came up with this idea to kind of explore his roots and see them as they are today, and see if they still stand up in terms of how difficult they are, and trying to get a sense of how hit, like, Conrad Kane's Rockies are today. So I thought I was going to speak to, like, local guides, see if they've done his routes, go to some of the places he climbed, photograph them, and try and get a sense of, like, the history of mountaineering in the Canadian Rockies. And obviously, like, my photos would be a big part of that, but I tried to kind of encompass history, photography, and mountaineering, which is, like, the three things I'm really interested in. So that was my sort of proposal, and then I guess they were into it. I'm not too sure how it's going to work out when I'm actually there, but I know a bit about the air because I've read about it, but until you're there, the weather's going to be pretty bad in this winter and everything, so I'm not sure how much I'm going to be able to get out, but I'm sure it'll be a good time, so I kind of need to work out when I get there on the ground, but that was my problem.
So you said you're some of the money that you're going to earn and stuff, you're just planning on reinvesting it right back into the park and just getting up, maybe doing some ice climbing, maybe, like, maybe getting a helicopter set.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm getting fees, like, artist fees, but as a photographer, I don't really have, I've got my cameras already, I've got my film, so I was going to use it basically as, like, access to things. So yeah, I'm going to try and do a bit of ice climbing, so all these pay guides. I was looking into helicopter rides over the Rockies, so that'd be pretty cool. And they're not actually too expensive. It sounds like we're insane, but it's not too bad. And yeah, and things like car hire to try and get to the mountains. I want to try and use my, like, artist fees in a way that gets me good photos, because, you know, I don't really have that many overheads. Apart from developing film, you know, I've already got, like, a computer and all the editing shit, so, like, that's what I'm going to try and use the money for.
Nice. So also, something I've noticed about, like, looking at your stuff and, like, I don't know, the work you're putting out and everything, you do a lot of zines and stuff?
Yeah, well, I used to. I haven't really done so many recently. It was a good thing last winter, really, when it was, like, the weather was bad. It was just a thing, you know, a way to kind of, like, keep myself occupied. Yeah, I haven't done many recently, but I'd like to do, like, me and Luke are planning this one. And it's sort of a joint scene where I would put photos from Scotland, he's got photos from South Island, New Zealand, and they're really similar, and they work really well together, so we're trying to work something out there. So I'm sure we'll get that done soon.
So, do you have kind of a routine, or just kind of, like, when you go out hiking? I mean, I know that you live in Glasgow, and you make it out to, like, Glencoe and other parts of the Highlands a lot. How often do you get out there?
Last 2 years, I've been just working, you know, like 4 or 5 days a week at a shop, so it had to be kind of worked around that. But if I had even one day coming up or a couple of days, I would, like, you know, check weather forecasts, hire cars, check get maps, and then try and get up as early as possible or go the night before to get the best weather. And then just, if people are I've got a couple of people I'd call up and a couple of climbing partners that I'd get out, and then we try and keep the group small and then just drive up to the spots and just go for it. But it started out like, you know, just walking on trails and like pretty obvious climbs around Glasgow, like the Copper, and some smaller ones in Lothlovin. And then just, you know, I'm the kind of person that I like, going from skateboarding and things, it's always been like, I've always seen progression as important. So we start with that, and then I'd start hearing from speaking to other climbers and things about, like, these, you know, classic routes that you should do that maybe involve like scrambling or head for heights or something a bit more technical. So then we start kind of getting into that. We did like Anokiga, which is a really famous ridge walk in Glencoe, which is some parts of that are pretty scary. Some ones on the Brookhale in Glencoe, and then some routes on Ben Nevis and things. So I started getting into that, and now it's like I don't really just want to walk up a path or something. It seems like the next thing I do has to be better than the last thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So when I get back, I'm gonna, like, hopefully in Banff I'll be ice climbing. When I get back to Scotland at Christmas, it'll be like winter, so there'll be a lot more challenging things I can do there with like crampons and routes that are a bit more dangerous and better. It's for me, it's about the challenge and the progression. Like, I don't want to just plod up and down the same path. It's like, you know, 20 tourists on a Sunday. I want to try and like out to some places that are, like, you know, they're a bit wilder and a bit more dangerous, because I kind of do get the thrill out of that. But yeah, it's about, yeah, you just, preparations. Like, when I first started, it was just like whatever, I would just wear whatever clothes and stuff. But then, you know, I started getting waterproofs, because you go through one bag storm and you're just like, it's really, really miserable. So I started getting like better gear and just planning it better with maps and planning routes and knowing how to, like, you know, yeah, use compasses and map and compass and navigate your way out of mist, and, you know, how to climb. I did like a couple of mountaineering courses last year in the snow, and how to, like, if you're sliding down a mountain with an ice axe, how to stop yourself and how to, you know, avalanche safety and all this stuff. It's just been, I've just been building on it. It's become a real passion. I mean, I always have a camera with me, but it's become about so much more than that for me, and all these other skills I've brought into it. It's, yeah, it's amazing. But on a normal trip, yeah, we'll just plan it. Just, if the weather's good, we'll go. If the weather's bad, we'll go anyway, to see how far we can get. And sometimes we might have to turn around if it's really bad, but that's just how it goes.
Are you just physically kind of adapting and being more, like, up for it too? Is your body, like...
Yeah, I've always been pretty fit. I mean, if you can't really skate unless you're super fit, it's just, you know, you don't really get any overweight skaters. Most, like, I've always been kind of doing that all the time, so I've always been kind of fit. I think, yeah, I've never really had to really adapt too much. I think it seemed to have, I've never really been like too tired out or unable to do stuff. It's kind of come pretty naturally.
Cool. So also, you were saying that you've kind of done a lot of route planning and stuff. Does that start? Because, I mean, I saw you in the hotel one of the nights, kind of planning your route for Yosemite. You were just like lit up, man, so excited, kind of like getting that all figured out. Is that?
Check out this train.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is real cool. Is that kind of how it starts out on the internet, or do you do like a lot of the fly?
It's so good for finding out like routes and stuff. Like, I wouldn't want to rock up to Valley and be like, right, what are we going to do? Because I would kind of see that as a bit wasting time. Faffing. We've been talking about faffing a lot on this trip.
See what Luke's big
Luke
term of the trip.
I don't know, we get together and we just faff. It's basically just like wasting time, you know, just messing around, trying to park the car and get food. Like, I try and organize it all the night before so I can just rock up to the spot and just go. So yeah, I looked at some clips. I mean, I wanted something that was just a day trip, and then this Glacier Point Trail looked good, had a good view and everything. So yeah, I try and plan it the night before. I just think it makes the next day go a lot smoother, so you can kind of roll up and just go for it. Because you don't, I mean, if it's winter and it's getting dark at 6, you don't actually have as much time as you think, especially if something goes wrong up there and you God, we haven't got much daylight left. We're heading into Jumping River, so it's good to be prepared. Everyone gets caught, if people get caught out in the hills, they're usually unprepared. And it can happen pretty easily. It happens a lot in Scotland in winter. People go off without a map and a compass, and then the mist comes down, and they don't know where they are, and they have to call by and rescue because the situation is important. Oh, I never really have to be unless it's too serious.
Let's talk a little bit about like our first day, like just kind of rolling in there. I didn't know anything about what's the name of the national park?
Sequoia.
Yeah, the Sequoias. I didn't know anything about it. Luke had heard a lot of good stuff from a friend. And it was just really cool to roll in there, like right when it was like snowing and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it was weird because we did a lot of faffing actually.
Yeah, we did a lot of faffing,
but then we rolled into the park, and it was pretty high. Like, it goes up to, like, 6,000 feet, so it was really cold, and, like, Luke had never really seen that much snow, so it was, like, he was tripping out on that, and, like, yeah, it was misty and eerie, and we didn't have snow chains on our tires, so it was pretty, it was good, though. I didn't actually expect it to be like that. Like, all the photos I've seen of places like Yosemite, all these big national parks in California, were like full of sun, so it was kind of cool to get the snow. And, like, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't have any places to stay or anything. We just kind of worked it all out, which is how all the best trips are.
Oh, yeah, I kind of prefer it that way, like, just kind of not knowing every single detail.
Like, yeah. I plan, like, climbing trips pretty meticulously, because, I don't know, it's kind of different. But if you're going on a road trip, it's like, you just got to let it go. Because that's, like, that night we spent, like, last night, we'd just come out of Yosemite, and it was really late, and we were all really hungry, and we were driving around, like, trying to find this town called Dunlap, because it was close to Sequoia, and we wanted to be, like, up early for Sequoia in the morning, and we were, like, really hungry, and, like, everything was shot. We were going down this, like, windy road, and Luke was, like, and we were talking about, horror films, and it was just, like, I was, like,
it's like the Hills Have Eyes kind of place.
Yeah, it was so weird, and I'd been, like, I'd done that climb, so I was so tired. And then you called up this hotel that we got off, like, the internet. This lady, Gina, was, like, got out of bed, and she cooked us dinner, and put us up in this really cool hotel. And
Sold us beer,
yeah.
For, like, a really good price, like, for good beer.
And that was, like, completely unplanned, and it was just, like, she was a total hero, and she, and, like, yeah, it was amazing. And, like, that was exactly what we wanted, and she's there, because we just kind of, it just worked out perfectly.
It was definitely cool, like, being with you and Luke. When you guys saw, like, your first bear and shit.
Oh, yeah. That's real cool. I mean, I'd seen them in zoos, but, like,
yeah,
it tripped me out. They're just walking down the side of the road. And, like,
so
saw, like, four or five today. Yeah, they're amazing. I was a bit too excited. Flicking open the car doors and stuff. Yeah, it was cool.
Definitely cool, yeah. And I got to, like, because we got in there and it just kind of got a little hairy with all the snow that was everywhere and our car was kind of sliding around. It was cool. We got, like, those chains for our tires and stuff. We got to have a nice little Walmart experience, too.
Oh, yeah, we got the chains. Two chains. Yeah, it was cool. Like, we got to try them out because they have never gone snow chains. So it was the first.
Yeah, and you and Luke together are just, like,
well, Luke's never
insane
seen snow,
snowball
so,
people.
Yeah, Luke's never seen snow, so he's obviously never had a snowball chucked out. So I fucking planted one right in his head.
That's true. Square in the face.
So it was on after that. Like, whenever we get out of the car to take a photo or whatever, then it's like, we just got this little snowball fight thing going. He's terrible. It's like, I just can't throw a shit. What do you expect from Australia?
So it's been good too, getting some beers in. A little mixture of hanging out and seeing some stuff and.
Yeah, we got beers.
We got, what's that bar?
Oh, Cursed.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're called. They're called, like, the Dirty Donkey.
Dirty Donkey.
Yeah, and there's, what, like, four of us in the bar, and we're playing pool, and this old dude rocks up, and he's doing, like, air guitar, and, like...
He was loving our music choices.
He was trying to get us to listen to, like, specific David Gilmour lyrics. It was just, like, he was like, rocking out. Just that weird kind of, like, these guys, it's, like, Monday night, and, like, rocks up. Just that weird... Like, I really like the bar vibe. It was pretty cool to see.
Definitely. Dirty Donkey is a cool place.
Yeah, the Dirty Donkey, you know,
yeah, get there. Right outside of Yosemite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've been doing this for a while and stuff, and you're definitely been in skateboarding history and all stuff, but kind of like, what started you when you were younger into kind of like having like an interest in art, having like an eye to like capture something?
Yeah, it's I've like thought about, I mean, people like us, sometimes we do web interviews or whatever, it's kind of a weird one, because I don't really like, I mean, when I was growing up, we did a lot of traveling, like, as a family, and so I definitely saw some amazing places, so I always appreciated, like, you know, I always appreciate, I mean, like, beautiful places, and, like, appreciate, like, we did a lot of walking, a lot of, like, camping and all these things, so I always, like, loved these things, and then, but I was never really, like, massively into photography, and then a friend of mine, Benji, just gave me, a trip, a trip for Christmas one year, and I was like, oh, yeah, you should just, like, I was like, all right, like, I didn't really think much about it, and then I shot some stuff around Shetland, like, the island where I'm from, and I got it developed, and I was just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of hit me really quick, like, the whole process, and, like, I thought they would all come out terribly, and they actually came out pretty good, and it just kind of, like, and then I just started to realize, you know, like, I'm going to all these nice places, like, I should use the speaker to record, and it just kind of went from there, and then, but I don't think it would have sustained my interest if I hadn't met people through it and kind of got things from it, like, it slowly started building, and then I got, like, I just recently did some stuff for a company and got a bit of money, and it's allowed me to travel, and it's, like, I just realized it's a good way of, like, it's like the photos are the photos, but yeah, there's so much that comes with it, like the whole, like, the people involved and the travel, and that in itself is like led on to the engineering, so it's just kind of sustained itself through what it's given me. But I don't really ever remember being really into photography when I was, I mean, I loved looking at photos, but I didn't ever, like, it wasn't like something I've been doing, like, since I was really little. It's definitely, like, in the last 5 years it's become a big thing, but it's kind of become not secondary, just that I don't really think about it anymore. It's just, you know, it's just part of what I do, but it's led to so many things, and it's just kept it interesting.
And your girlfriend's like an artist, right?
So yeah, she's
a pretty big influence on you too.
Yeah, she's a printmaker. I mean, she does a lot of stuff in, like, different kind of disciplines. But, you know, she was the one that, you know, encouraged me to apply for residencies. She's helped me out heaps, but she's given me a lot of tips and, like, pointers with, like, with exhibitions. Like, I had an exhibition in London this year, and she helped me out so much with that. She's kind of made me think about other ways I can kind of present things. Like, she's really good at print, she's really good at, like we've been talking for a while about, there's a Denny's.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, Denny's.
1.5 miles exit,
yeah,
prospect.
I'm getting pretty hungry. Yeah, like, she's good for that kind of thing. Like, she's very, like, she studied all this stuff in art school, so she's, like, got a really broad, like, she's definitely helped me a lot with that, kind of opened my eyes to other ways of doing things. Like, yeah, we were going to work on some stuff, and she was going to try and, like, she was going to, like, print, like, screen print some of my photos and stuff, and I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So then, what, who are some of, like, your favorite photographers or people that you're inspired by?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really follow too many people. Like, I've got some people like Jeff Luker, Joe Coleman is another one I followed, like,
yeah, John Nigel Coleman.
Yeah, like you, Luke, Shea Parker, like my friends at home, Jamie Shaw and that. But, like, in terms of, like, you know, being photographers or whatever, obviously people like Ansel Adams. Like, this is actually this guy I've just kind of discovered recently. He's called Byron Harmon. He explored the Rockies with Conrad Kane, and his photos are insane, you know, like, lugging, like, big plate cameras up and, like, you know, like, up really crazy, like, routes and stuff. And that's a big inspiration for me. It's like, to even carry, like, a yashik up a hill, like, just carrying these massive you know, it's like, it's insane. I don't really think too much about us. Yeah, like, just mostly friends. I just get really stoked on what my friends are doing, and, like, because I kind of know how they did the photos, and it kind of, like, it's almost like an update on what they were doing in their lives, so obviously I'm interested in that. I'll have a think, like, in the next little while and get back to it. So, sure, there definitely are big ones.
Remember you were saying we were both talking about, like, Jocelyn Peterson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that?
No shit.
Cool Hand Luke's?
Is that a restaurant?
It's gonna be quicker. You want to do it? I can interview Cool Hand Luke at Cool Hand Luke's.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, Jocelyn Carrison's good. She's amazing. Yeah. All those dudes. Cody Cobb,
yeah, dude, definitely.
Where?
Cool Hand Luke's, wow, dude.
Oh, Cool Hand Luke's, wow.
You want to eat there?
I don't know. What do you reckon? Yeah. Wow. Oh, we just go to Denny's.
Oh, Cool Hand Luke's.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
So you get inspired by films and stuff?
Yeah, like, old climbing films, definitely. Like,
yeah.
Mountain of Storms, like, the old, I can't remember what it's called, the film of Hillary and that climbing Everest. That's, oh yeah, like Annapurna. Morris Herzog and all that, like on Annapurna, that film's amazing. Old climbing films, definitely. Like National Geographic.
You have like, one with you that you brought from home, right?
Oh, yeah, I've got the Yosemite one. Sure, I just wanted to check out the routes. Nat Geo. Oh, Cool Hat Luke's Steakhouse.
Do you want to eat here or go to Denny's?
Luke, come on. Denny's, I wouldn't mind that salad. Gotta get that on gram. That's what gram's all about.
I think so, too.
Shit like that. Like, oh, look where I am. This is funny.
Bit of documentation.
Can I take a photo of you outside of it? Standing next to that cactus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Is that still recording?
Yeah, it's still recording. Okay.
Yeah, this all should be fun. Like, this is going to be, like, grams.
So where do you want to take your photography? Where would you see yourself in the future? A couple years down the road?
I think doing something like, you know, working for a company like Patagonia or like, you know, one of these big companies that could give you amazing traveling opportunities, or, you know, working as something like, there's this photography duo called, I think they're like actually husband and wife, like the Patatucci. They're called like, I can't remember what, something like, the guy's called like Dan Patitucci. But anyway, he like, you know, he goes on big like Himalayan expeditions and shoots like people doing new routes and stuff like that. That'd be amazing, that opportunity. Someone like, or like Colin Pryor in Scotland, who like works for like RAB and like gets, he just got sent to the Karakoram and like, so I guess working for, you know, yeah, photographing, like, yeah, in the world of mountaineering, you know, photographing people doing routes or companies like shooting like products.
Do you have a few more minutes, or you're
off? I think I'm good. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I get the prime rib cob salad?
Okay. What kind of dressing?
Honey mustard.
Okay.
Can I get the same as well? But what dressings do you have?
Ranch, blue cheese, Thousand Island, balsamic dressing, Italian honey mustard.
Maybe a blue cheese.
Thank you. Okay.
So do you have buffalo wings, Wenchins?
We don't have wings. Oh, okay. We have strips.
Oh, what's the wings? Oh, yeah, sure.
You got those?
Yeah, sounds good.
Do you want any like ranch or blue cheese to come in?
Can I do one each, actually?
Yeah.
All right, cheers.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Yeah,
how about like, I could see you doing something like working for National Geographic. Would you ever do something like that?
Yeah, of course. That's like every landscape photographer's dream, but that's like pretty next level, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course that'd be amazing. That'd definitely be amazing. I'd like to do something specifically in mountaineering, though, you know? Working for like a big mountaineering company that, you know, that could pay for you to go on an expedition. Like, it'd be amazing to go get paid to go to like the Andes for Patagonia for 3 months and shoot, like, you know, shoot someone doing a new route. That would be the kind of thing I would like to aspire to, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not too interested in like fashion, but like that kind of product definitely appeals to me.
Okay, so what about like, so would you set up post stuff, or do you prefer like everything being natural, or what?
Well, I mean, obviously you're going on a trip. In the back of your mind, you're hoping you get good photos. It's all kind of constructed in some ways, and like, I don't mind kind of trying to sort of suggest someone doing something, but it's better to keep it natural as possible. Like, I mean, if you're climbing and stuff, it's pretty easy to get natural photos because, you know, you're quite active and dynamic and stuff. But you obviously, you know, you see situations coming up where the figures are going to be silhouetted perfectly, and you kind of need to run into position. You end up running into position, or you hang back to get a good photo of someone on a ridge or something. So it's. But I try. I mean, I actually, because I go climbing a lot on my own, I actually photograph other like hill walkers and other climbers, you know, silhouetted against the sky and stuff. So that's all pretty natural, I guess. But you know, try not to be too posed, because that really shines through, I think, if you're just going out there with the intention of taking a photo of someone in a specific place. But yeah, you can't help doing a bit of that, you know.
Well, man, have a blast in Banff, dude. I look forward to seeing all the crazy stuff you're about to do. Is there anything else you want to say?
But I think that's it. Just, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Alright, man, appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for listening to the first episode of the Pow Wow Podcast. I want to apologize for that shite recording. I know it's pretty bad. Anyway, I want to thank David Boyzon Cooper for doing this. He was pretty coherent considering he had just smoked a joint to himself and then taken a big weed nap. Woke up and did this podcast, so thanks, man. You can find his stuff on Tumblr. That's davidboyzoncooper.tumblr.com. Boyzon being B-O-Y-S-O-N. He also has a zine coming out soon with Luke Byrne, an adventure zine. And you can find his company where he makes scenes at Polestar Books. And you can find me at mattleafanderson.com. That's L-I-E-F. mattleafanderson.tumblr.com is my blog, or at mattleafanderson on Instagram. So I hope you enjoyed the little extra stuff in there, ordering at Denny's and finding Cool Hand Luke's Steakhouse. Stay tuned for 2 weeks for the next episode. That'll be Luke Byrne, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Bye.